listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
902 on ESPN 97.5, John and Lance. And Bun B joining us here on the show. A guy who went up to Minnesota.
Yeah, and then came back the very next day to be part of what was going on in Houston. I've known Bun for a while. I got to know him back when I was over at 790, and he was doing a show. Like, every once in a while, he would do a sports show with Adam Rapp, the guy who used to be here, and I got to know Bun and consider Bun a friend. And, you know, Bun's one of those guys that I think is a phenomenal, I've always felt this way, sounding board for the city. We just had a guy, Larry, call in and talk about our city being a little different than some of the other cities in terms of embracing the diversity of the city, and it's one of the things I'm proud of. And I'm happy to have Bun on the show today to talk about, first of all, there's a march going on tomorrow that Bun is going to be a part of. But then secondly, you know, Bun, George Floyd, I know that you knew Big Floyd. He was from Third Ward, guy who was friends with Steven Jackson. You know Steven Jackson from your days out in Port Arthur and the whole, you know, the whole area. Just talk for a second about, before we get into all that other stuff, because you have some personal knowledge of it, I want you to just kind of honor his name and the families with who he was and what you knew of George.
Well, you know, I think that's, well, first thing, let me clear something up because I keep hearing this. I actually didn't know Big Floyd.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, but the reality is that, you know, I knew a lot of people. I know a lot of people who considered him a brother, right? And so I feel their pain because, you know, when my brother Pimp passed away, I had a lot of people who grieved with me openly, right? And who stood with me in some of the lowest, darkest moments in my life. And so that's kind of been the first priority for me is, you know, with Jack, you know, I've known Jack since he was a kid. You know, he grew up two blocks away from me in Port Arthur. And so to see his pain and his grief when all of this happened, I felt, you know, compelled to stand with him. But the reality is that we all, you know, as a black man in America, I've seen George Floyd before, right? And so I can understand what the family is going through. I can understand what the friends are going through. And unfortunately, it's a condition that we know all too well in America. You know, it's this consistent police brutality against people of color. And, you know, there's always been, you know, the fact that there wasn't always video, then there's always been a reason for people to assume, well, if the police did that, he had to be doing something wrong. But we see what happened to Eric Garner, you know, dying over selling loose cigarettes, and, you know, the idea of George Floyd, you know, trying to buy something with a fake $20 bill, which is, it's actually come out now that the 20 wasn't fake. And so now, and even if it was fake, you know, is that this man died over, let's just say it was a fake $20 bill. Is that enough to kill a man? Absolutely not. You know, and we're living in a very tenuous time right now. There's a lot of tension and anxiety already existing in people dealing with COVID-19, being on quarantine, you know, one out of every four working Americans losing their job. You know, so it was already a very tense time in America. A lot of people dealing with, you know, different levels of anxiety. And for something like this to happen, it just kind of pushes people over the edge, you know? And it's not fair and it's not right. And so we want to make sure that we stand in unity, unified, over George Floyd's death. You know, I'll be honest, John and Lance, I would love to live in America, in an America where George Floyd is the last person to die like this, to be tortured and murdered on the streets of America. I would love for this to be the last time that this happens, right? And I would hope that we would all learn a lesson and find a way to all come together and you know, at the least agree to disagree, but at our best, you know, start to see each other as human beings, right? And so that's why we have to rally. We have to speak out. We have to be heard because we, you know, we don't want our children to grow up in this America. You know, I don't want my grandkids. My grandson just turned one recently, and I would like that by the time he's able to kind of see the world and understand it, that this stuff is in the past. You know, that this stuff is not something that we are still dealing with. And so that's why, you know, I get out on the front line. You know, I'm not afraid to do what my parents did and what my grandparents did and what their parents did, standing, you know, standing up for civil rights, standing up against segregation, standing up against Jim Crow. Like, there's all these different things that people have had to deal with in this country. And the other thing is that, you know, someone has to be out here to point out, you know, different instigators and infiltrators who are trying to co-opt this movement for a reason to break in stores and steal. And to, which everybody, I have a lot of friends that have stores, right? That own retail stores, and they're not concerned about their goods right now. They're not concerned about their buildings because those things can be rebuilt, right? Any product that they've lost, they can get back. Any window that's broken can be replaced. But George Floyd is gone forever. Like, he's gone, and we can't bring him back. So, you know, let's not worry about that. Let's not let those kind of things divert us from the real message here, which is dealing with police brutality. Like, would I riot? No. Would I loot? No. But I do understand that there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration that people in America are dealing with, young people in particular. And they're just trying to find a way to get rid of some of that pain. And they're acting out right now, you know. And if you care more about property than you care about people, then you don't understand what's happening in this country.
Bun B with us here on ESPN 97.5. Bun, I truly believe, because I don't know what the answer is, because I kind of feel like he's the minority. Derek Chauvin was the minority. That, but it happens all too often. It's not one bad apple. We had this conversation a little bit earlier. But what I feel in this case is that there's got to be a conviction here. That there's got to be a deterrent, because no cops have ever paid the price for what happened to George Floyd or any of the other victims of the police brutality. So there's got to be a deterrent for them, that they have to understand that if they do something like this, then they're going to pay for it.
Michael Vick did more time in prison behind dogfighting than the last 495 police shootings in America. The officers that committed the last 495 police shootings and murder in America did more time collectively. All 495 of them did less time collectively than Michael Vick did for dogfighting.
Right.
Just think about that for a minute.
Yeah. It's crazy.
There has to be culpability for these type of actions. Otherwise, people are going to be emboldened to feel like they can do this and get away with it. And so that's the kind of injustice that we're looking at and in the black community and for people of color. And that's what we're marching for. That's what we're protesting about, because enough is enough. Like, at some point, our humanity has to be recognized. We can't consistently take away our dignity and not recognize us as living, breathing human beings who deserve to walk the streets of America.
Agreed. And God forbid if he's this trial. Good Lord, Bun, what's it going to be like if he's found not guilty?
Well, I mean, what's happened to all the other officers that have been found not guilty? Life went on, you know, and that's the scary part for me. Not that people will take to the streets again. It's the reality is that when this happens and police are found not guilty, I mean, look at the 92 riots. I mean, look at Rodney King. Mm-hmm. Those guys were found not guilty and life went on as usual. Right. And that's the thing, like the indifference to this. That's what I'm more concerned about. Right? And America that is indifferent to this kind of thing, because people should be mad as hell when these things happen. And this is the country that we live in. This is the America that we're supposed to be proud of. I'm not proud of this America, you know.
No, right. No. You. The thing about you, though, is you do things to try to enact change, not a talk of. There's a lot of people on social media that are talk about it, but not be about it. But you talk about it and you are about it. And I know you went to Minneapolis. You came back to Houston. You made a quick trip there, came back. And I know tomorrow you are going to be part of the march tomorrow. Do you want to talk about when and where that is organizing?
Yeah. So Trey the Truth and I, and you know, God bless Trey, because Trey the Truth has always been on the front line, helping those less fortunate, helping people that society kind of turns their back on. He's always been a man of the people, and I'm always proud to stand with him. And so he has a very close relationship with the Floyd family. George Floyd's nephew was with us in Third Ward yesterday. And so we're going to be joining with the Floyd family to help them, you know, shoulder the burden of the pain that they carry. And so we're going to meet in Discovery Green tomorrow at 3:00. And we're going to march from Discovery Green to City Hall, The mayor is going to join us there. Art Aceveda, our police chief, is going to join us there. Other respected members and elected officials of our community are going to meet us there. And we're going to vocalize our pain. We're going to vocalize our frustrations, vocalize our concerns, and not just talk about it. You know, I'm very, very adamant about policy reform, because that's really the only way to start affecting change in this country, in America. You can't, unfortunately, just, you know, impress upon people's good nature for them to change. Like, there has to be rules of law in order for people to stop doing what they're doing, or at least make them think twice about doing what they're doing. So we're looking at policy reform. We're looking at independent councils that come in and review these things, and taking the power away from the police when it comes to policing them and holding them accountable. You know, I'm looking at stiffer penalties for when police officers commit crimes against the citizens of their communities that they're supposed to serve and protect. I don't think that when a police commits a crime that they shouldn't be held to a higher standard for betraying the trust of the communities that they police. And so we're looking at, you know, it on a local level, right? Because all these things have to start on a local level about, you know, bringing up new policy and reforming some of the policy that already exists in the city of Houston, the state of Texas, and hopefully on a large level in the United States of America. And so that's what we're marching for. That's what we're protesting about today, tomorrow. And we would love for everyone to come out and join us. You know, we're planning a nonviolent protest, you know, no rioting and no looting in the middle of it. We're not going to let anybody try to infiltrate our protest tomorrow and co-opt it for their own particular reasons, or to try to send their own different messages. And we'll definitely be on the lookout for that. So if that's your plan tomorrow, I wouldn't suggest doing that. There will be repercussions for that in the moment. And we're proud to have the Houston Police Department joining us in the middle of this. They're actually very supportive of what we've been doing. And so they will be with us on the march tomorrow. And we just want to make sure that we stand with the family in their time of pain, in their time of grief, and to help them ensure that no one else has to die like this.
We'll see you tomorrow, Bun.
Yo, Lance, John, thank you guys so much for always giving me your platform. I know usually it's about Rockets and Texans and Astros and that kind of a thing, but I'm very proud to have you guys as friends allowing me to talk about this on your airways, man. Thank you guys so much.
Where again? Where and when again, Ben?
Tomorrow is going to be at 3 p.m. at Discovery Green. We're going to march, and that's 1300 block of McKinney. For people who aren't exactly familiar with where Discovery Green is, it's 1300 McKinney, and we're going to march from Discovery Green to City Hall.
Sweet. So if you're behind this,
mm-hmm.
and
put all your politics aside,
yep.
put all your people want the right thing. You should want the right thing. You don't have to agree politically. That's what something Bun is. You know, Bun and Big Angry have been. Bun introduced me to Charles Adams, and Charles does a show with Zero. That's a really good show. But do what's right. Just mm-hmm. think about what's right. Teach your kids what's right, what's wrong. You don't have to be for everything you see on TV, but you should be for right. Whatever is right is right. It shouldn't scare you, and you got to keep your eyes on what's right. And I appreciate what you're doing, Bun. I appreciate that the police chief is working with you. The Houston police are working with you, and man, I'm always proud of the stuff that you do here for our city. Always.
Great stuff.
The heavy stuff, the fun stuff, the food stuff, you're always right in the middle of it, and I always appreciate it.
Right,
thanks, Lance. Thanks, John. Guys, have a good day.
All right, we appreciate it, man. Thank you, sir. 3 o'clock, Discovery Green, tomorrow. 916 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Okay, these guys have been waiting a while now. Longhorn Keith, Justin, Roy, we'll get you guys. We're going to get you guys in here now. Thanks to Bun B. We appreciate it. 3 o'clock tomorrow, Discovery Green. A nice, peaceful walk to City Hall. That'll be great. Longhorn Keith, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Yeah, I've been rocking with you guys since the late 90s, and out of all the shows, this is probably in my top five, and obviously for obvious reasons in the situation and the climate that we're in. So let me briefly, as quick as I can, get through this. I know you got calls waiting. Before Austin, I was in the military, and I was a military police in Panama during the 92 Rodney King situation, beating, and led to riots. And I'll never forget, as a military police, and this is important to note, I went into work that morning after those riots and after that beating, actually, and we had this really tense, diverse, or this real tense kind of splitting of thoughts about that issue. And so much so that it became a tenuous moment to work with people of the opposite color for everybody involved, because everybody had difference of opinions. And then I moved from that perspective, from 92 through all the situations that have surrounded that. But in Austin, when I came home from the military, I'll never forget, after class, I went to 6th Street just to hang out on a Friday, as everybody does. And it was almost as if I was in a different world, man. I'd served our country proudly and just hanging out on the streets with some friends of mine. But I was singled out and was asked to put my hands on the wall and was searched as if, and honestly, man, I felt violated, like nobody's business felt violated. And I almost feel like, and to get an understanding of that, you just have to go through it. And then more importantly, you live that life, and it becomes this sense of anger that you don't even know where it comes from. And lastly, I'll say this. So I took all of that, all of my experiences, right? And I have two boys that I try to share, like, just life goals about, right? And I was sharing with one of my guys from church. We go to a diverse church as well. My boys go to diverse schools. And so we were discussing conversations with our kids in a men's Bible study. And this hit home for them as well. And I think you guys may have mentioned this earlier in the show. But I had this conversation, and I said, man, I've got to talk to my boys about how to handle police traffic stops. And they got quiet, as if, like, what? Like, that's new to them. That's like a foreign language. And when it hit me, when I explained to them, like, I was a military police in uniform on my way from Houston, Texas, my home, back to Alabama where I was stationed. And I'll never forget, I got pulled over in Louisiana in uniform, asking what was I doing driving the kind of car I was driving. Bro, those thoughts and those memories those experiences will never, they haunt me still to this day. Haunt me not from the standpoint of I don't respect authority or respect police officers, because I was one. But it haunts me that I got to have those conversations. And I'll just say this to close it out. We talk a lot about change and a lot about, I think one of the most pivotal changes that can happen in police forces throughout the world is that you have to get inside of the organization and understand that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You cannot continue to allow police officers to be in positions and making decisions for years and years and years, because you can go ask their spouses. It doesn't matter who they are. You can ask their spouses. At some point, they feel above the law. And those guys need the mental counseling, they need the therapy, whatever it takes. They need a break from the streets, because after a while, you become a part of the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality. Mm-hmm. So, guys, thank you so much for this platform. I thank you for allowing us to speak. And I just hope that we will use this opportunity to advance and move forward, and not, as Bond said, being different from this point forward.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Longhorn Keith.
I think this is going to bring people. I honestly do think there will be I'm not always in a great place mentally when everything goes down that is going down, and it's tough. It's really tough. But if you keep reaching out to people, talking, listening, having conversations, you find sameness, you find commonality, and you do, it does uplift you some. You do find some hope. You can't just get lost in your news coverage or your Twitter feed. You gotta make sure you are engaging with humans, because it does make a difference. It does make a difference talking to people, calling people. You know what? And I know we joke a lot on the show.
I don't.
But I do. You don't. And I know we joke, but Del, you haven't even hardly said anything. And I know we have a relationship where we have fun on our show and people love the back and forth. But I haven't even heard you say a whole lot. And I know you got thoughts, because you every once in a while you've put stuff out there. Do you have anything you want to say after all the weekend, or because you don't have a big platform to do a whole show or whatever, but anything from the show or anything from the weekend that you want to mention?
As I said before, I use the weekend to try not to get deep into coverage, just because this stuff, I mean, as much as it might enthrall some people or maybe awaken some people, none of this stuff is new, at least in my eyes. I mentioned before that I grew up, or at least I was young when the LA riots happened. I was introduced to this particular brand of protesting, and then the devolving and the events that led to it when I was really young. That trial, the video was on LA news every day, mm-hmm. until it wasn't. And then you had the riots that I experienced almost firsthand, pretty much. They were right down the street from the apartment we lived in. My mother said, "Hey, if they get any closer, you're going to go stay with your dad," because we could see him a block away. So what people are watching, not new to me. Why it occurred, not new. So it's not even surprising. And Lance, I know you talked about how people need to reach out. But you know what? I feel where this country is at this point, a week from now, once the riots quiet down, it'll be back to it'll be a political game all over again.
Maybe.
I will tell you, I will say this, though. Somebody mentioned this a little bit earlier. This one was different.
Oh, because Bomani it certainly became a national Bomani Jones thing. Said
that. But this one for me was different.
I hope it's that way for everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't have the same level of optimism that, because Keith was pointing out his experiences, and I don't have the same ones. It's partly probably because of my ability to just hang out at home, and so I don't have the same interactions. But just you walk around in your neighborhood, you go, well. I'm going to make sure I don't look threatening to this person.
Things don't happen. Right. No, you're right. Things don't. Yeah. We expect immediate changes.
Yeah.
And things are move much faster now. And some things are not going to move at the speed that you want them to. And to expect everything to hit a switch. Well, but you do hope that it starts with Keith said something really great, though. You do need a break. I think the mentality. Yeah. Of what police have to go through, at some point they need to hit reset and they need a sabbatical to recalibrate and to have good people talking to them about, hey, let's get your mind right on it. Made a great point.
But I'll tell you, this will be different. This will be different, and it's going to take a while. It's going to take some time, but it will be different when this guy's convicted. What I saw that's different in... You could argue that maybe, well, he didn't mean to do it, or they made a mistake. He said he couldn't breathe. Did they believe him? All of these things. There was no mistake in what Chauvin, to me, looking at his face and looking at the way that this went down, there was no mistaking.
His face being Chauvin's, yeah.
Chauvin's face. There was no mistake that this dude did not give a rat's ass about George Floyd,
and I hope he did
devalue his life.
And I hope all of that leads to a conviction. But you could watch what happened as far as the confrontations between officers and protesters. And as Lance mentioned, some of that stuff is going to be some physical conversations. That's just how it works. But I watched officers, a group of 10, charge protesters who weren't doing anything. And now I'm getting bits and pieces of footage. I don't know what precipitated, but it appeared that these people were just standing there, and they charge. They just made a full-length charge like it's on the battlefield, like in Braveheart. And it was like roving bands of marauders. Now, you could point to protesters doing the same thing, but then you watch clips, and people did these supercuts of police officers in doing certain things that you're like, wait a minute, this whole thing is about police brutality, and the reason you're out here is because partly because of what Chauvin did, and it appears that you've learned no lessons, that when the focus is entirely on how you're going to handle it, you're just going to shove an old man down for no reason. And these are all the things that were highlighted. We know the little girl who got pepper sprayed in Seattle.
But of course, you're going to have somebody who aggregates everything. Certainly. Because it's a powerful tool to try to sway you.
So I hope, hope what happens to Chauvin makes a change in the way things are handled from the top down. Because it can't just be the guys on the ground. They have a job and that they have to try to do it to the best of their ability. But the people who are their bosses have to make it clear that some things aren't allowable anymore. But at least for that first weekend, it didn't appear that a change in policing was going on. At least, and now this was an extreme event, but from what I saw in certain instances, it was like, hey, man, if I got to hit you with something to get you to calm down, I'm going to do it. So that's why when you say, think it feels different, it didn't look different for the people who we want to change, at least initially.
931 ESPN 975 73780. 3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Man, Justin's been waiting. He's been on hold for 45 minutes. We got to get him in here. Waited through Bun B and Longhorn. Keith, let's get in. Justin, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for getting in. Yeah. That's all right. I don't mind holding it. That way I can kind of tell my story. Lance, you kind of inspired me to call in and tell the story. I was debating whether to do it or not. And then hearing you tell your story about you and your buddy at the poker table kind of tip the scale. Anyway, my best friend, I'm a white guy. My best friend who also lives directly next door to me, he's a black guy. He had a pretty rough past. Gangs, went to prison. You know, he's covered in tattoos, got tattoos on his face, everything. I wanted to call in and tell this story because it really hits me hard in my heart. It physically gets me upset, so I'm going to try to hold it together. He's probably one of the best guys that I know. Heart of gold, he'll do anything for you. Matter of fact, I have a 4-year-old son. And whenever he was probably 2 or 3, you know, if I wasn't off of work, me and my wife wasn't off of work on time or whatever, and it was time for him to come home from daycare or whatnot, he would be off of work. He would actually watch him for us until we got home. That's how much I trust this guy. Well, anytime, and this is what's sad, and I don't have any answers. I don't know what it's going to take to change it. But he's also married to a white woman. And anytime that me and him, or us three, me, him, and his wife, or whatever the case may be, anytime we go anywhere, go to the shoe store, go to a parade, go out to dinner, whatever the case may be, I can't say that I know, you know, that I can put myself in his shoes, that I know what he goes through every day, but I can physically see and feel people judging not only him, just by the way he looks, but they're judging me for being with him and associating with him. And it really, really breaks my heart that somebody is so quick to judge him. He has turned his life around. He didn't have, whenever I first met him, he didn't have a license. He didn't have anything. He's got his license cleared, got his own vehicle, went to LIT. We live in Beaumont, went to LIT, got an HVAC degree, got out as soon as he graduated. Started his career with an HVAC company. He's been there for two plus years now. Has a great, I mean, he's completely turned everything around. And it's just super sad how people automatically judge a book by its cover. And I had to get onto my own mother because she was guilty of it at first. All she saw was, you know, sad to say, saw the color of his skin, saw all the tattoos, and kind of judged him at first. So I had to sit her down and say, look, this is where he came from. This is the kind of guy he is. And I essentially trust my son's life with him. And I mean, my son just goes next door whenever he wants to, rings the doorbell. They go in, he gives him popcorn, candy, hangs out. You know, he says my house is his house, and that, you know, he's pretty much like a brother to me. And that's kind of my experience, is that, and it's happened more than once, that, you know, just the little bit of time that we do go out for a few hours, that I feel in a way, so to speak, what he feels every single day that he has to walk out the door. And, you know, Lance, you made a very good point about you got to get away from social media, because these last few days I had to get away from it. I feel the same way about all these stupid conspiracy theories about the government's behind this, placing those piles of bricks. COVID didn't, you know, nobody's scared of COVID no more. So now we have to start all these riots and all this racism. I feel the same way about them as you feel about, well, actually, Twitter. I mean, it's the same thing. They could all...
Conspiracy theory, Twitter is... People use that to... They can justify it. They can manipulate in any way. As long as you get something started in a direction, then you have justification. And people who want to latch onto it. So it's hard enough finding just like basic news sources anymore. It's super hard to find basic news sources. That's like really hard. Everything is opinion based. Everything in the sports world is. I mean, look, John and I are an opinion based platform, sports talk radio. But you notice how ESPN went all opinion based because that's what sells. That's that's what sells. Talking heads having strong divergent opinions, that's what sells. Headline writers, they're doing some tremendous disservice, I think, from a news standpoint. And I mean, just completely misleading because it's clickbait. But you know what? They're in a battle for views and reads and relevancy. And so you have that going on. That's why sometimes you just have to, man, you got to unplug from people who are inside that little matrix of, you have people looking to virtue signal on Twitter. Then you have people looking to get their likes and retweets. And you have, sometimes you just need a, man, I hate social media for, I'm lucky enough that my own little dealings with listeners and stuff like that, I don't have to get too far into it because we talk about stuff going on the show. Even with draft stuff, people get mad during mock draft, but mostly I'm having discussions and sometimes debates about players with the Rocket stuff. I may disagree or agree with somebody about something, James Harden, but the other stuff on there, people are so easily clowned by these trolls. They're so easily, it's so easy to just fall into this emotional trap. And it's the same thing when you're watching this headline. I know what you're saying, Dell. You see videos, I mean, real videos of real things happening. It upsets you, but it's upsetting people in both ways, white and black. And they say, what about this shop owner? What about this? Man, there are bad actors. It doesn't mean everybody is a bad actor.
Oh, just to be clear, what I saw wasn't strictly a white cop thing. What happened in Atlanta?
Yeah,
it was a cop thing. At least the one guy I saw who was fired was a black officer. This couple was driving. I don't know if they told him to stop or not or whatever. But
is that when he got broke the window?
Yeah, broke the glass. Tased both of them. Yanked the guy out. I hope things are different. But that appeared to be something I saw when I was a kid in the 90s. So it's a weekend of extremes on both sides. And I hope people who have a positive view that things are different are right. But at least to start off with, we've already seen it been co-opted. So the politicism of it has already begun and will continue to begin. And I imagine this particular weekend, no matter how long it goes, will be a talking point in November.
Don't fall into it. Don't fall into the politicizing. Don't play into it. I don't care what side you're on. Don't play into the politicization unless it's about some type of change or unless it's about some type of something that leads to some resolution and compromise. Because no one wants to compromise on anything anyway. No one wants to come together. So if you have a choice to fall into that trap or not, then vote no. Then don't fall into that trap of people wanting to politicize stuff. That's all I can say. And if you didn't think, and like John said on Friday, vote, no matter who you are, what your political beliefs are, you can't watch that video and say, oh, I'm for this. You can be pro-cop, pro-government, pro-military. You can be a firm, lifelong Republican, a Democrat, whatever. But that's one that you have to kind of vote no. You know what I mean? Like you said, John, that's one where I haven't talked to anybody, and I haven't seen anybody on social media who says, no, that was the right thing to do. He followed procedure. That's actually the procedure. Nobody said that.
No.
No one thinks that. Nope. Nobody. So don't, I know a lot of other stuff's going on, but don't forget that part of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, 943 ESPN 975, summer 3780-3776. You want to get in?
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 946 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Couple of things, actually sports related. First of all, baseball, there's a real good possibility that there will be no season. That's looking.
Never thought that would be the case.
Yeah.
I never thought that would be the case.
Well, now maybe they'll come to their senses, but the owners are like, okay, we ain't losing money every game. Sorry, boys. Okay. And the players are like, we ain't taking less money. So you told us that we were going to get. Now we'll find out, you know, those guys that don't make all that much money, they're going to be going, oh, that's easy for you, Justin Verlander. And Trevor Bauer and all you guys with nice contracts that you've been paid for a few years. What about us? We don't have anything. Minor league players, they got no jobs. This is, you know what? That's all fine and good until now we're not getting any paychecks this year. So we'll find out how that works out for them. There was a poll of which ballparks are best by TV viewing experience, the aesthetics on television. Where do you think
I think Minute Maid is actually kind of high.
I think it is. It is high.
Is it high?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It finished sixth.
You got some things going on now that they got that stupid hill out of there.
Yeah. It finished number one, PNC Park in Pittsburgh.
I don't even know.
Beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. It's beautiful.
Well, from that shot, yeah.
Well, No. But it's got the bridge. I've been there. It's beautiful. Fenway, obviously Fenway has it. Baltimore, Camden Yards.
Oh, wow.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, that looks good.
Been there.
I was in Philadelphia. I went to Philadelphia.
Giants, beautiful.
Yeah, San Francisco.
So that San Francisco's four, Wrigley is five, and Minute Maid is six.
You know what? I didn't love the New York Stadium when we were there.
What?
I didn't love Yankee Stadium.
No, Yankee Stadium.
I didn't think it was great.
Yankee Stadium is like a hospital.
Now, it's great to be amongst all those Yankee fans to hear. Like, you know you're part of a sports history.
Yeah.
Just being amongst Yankee fans. And they are different.
But it's new. It's not.
But it didn't feel. Yeah, it didn't feel. Even being new, there's lots of new parks. It just. There was nothing special.
No, Yankee Stadium was poorly put together. It's like Comiskey. It was poorly done.
Where's Chicago? Where's
Wrigley?
Wrigley
was four.
Oh, it's fourth. Okay.
Or fifth, rather. Fifth.
Where's the Ranger Stadium in the 20s?
The new Ranger Stadium is actually in the teens, I think. I forget where it ended up, but it's here, Dallas Morning News. There it is. That's what it looks like.
Wait a minute, that's Minute Maid.
That's not Minute Maid. I told you, Rob Madwick almost did.
Crap!
I know. Look, it's got the windows. It's got the same. It's got the same roof. It's got all of it. It's the same.
It's It's Minute Maid.
They finished 15th. Yeah.
Yep.
So we got a nice park here. Actually, all our stadiums are pretty damn good. So big ups to us. And then there's this one. Ranking NFL quarterbacks by the commitment the team has to them. How married all 32 teams are to their starters, to their starting quarterback. How married all NFL teams are.
Actually, there's a higher percentage than probably ever before right now, I think. To their starters right now?
Right now.
When you say no, married... No,
it's ranking. Who's the most married to their team?
Married for 2020.
Right. For example, the Bears aren't...
All right. I mean, Kansas City...
The Bears
City's
aren't married to Trubisky.
No.
We know
Kansas
that.
City's number one.
The answer, no. It's actually because they don't have a contract with him right now.
Oh. But they will.
But they will. Oh, absolutely.
I still feel like it's number one. But based on that scenario...
The least is Gardner Minshew. They're least married to him.
You because, think even more so than...
Well,
than,
let's than, face it. If they don't win
Chicago's,
this year, Trevor
Trubisky
Lawrence...
Or Foles?
Trubisky is
It should
30th.
Be Foles. Nick Foles should be the guy.
Well, how
what
married
heard,
are they
Nick
to him?
Foles is going to be the star.
Yeah, right. But how married are they to him? Even?
Well, that's to me, that's like last... That's close
well,
to last
year's
place.
Starter, I guess. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. They're probably... How married... Stidham is 31st. They're not married to him.
I feel like you almost put him in tiers because I don't know how you even.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if I put him in tiers, Minshew, Chicago, Stidham, yeah.
Denver?
Oh, yeah. They're married to Drew.
Oh, not really.
Drew Locke?
Yeah.
Drew was fantastic as a rookie.
Let's go ahead and see if he has a good year. What
well, wait.
But they don't have any money invested in him.
Well, they're not married like, okay.
Yeah.
I see. So they're not married like tier one, but he's clearly tier two.
But there's no financial investment yet. If he doesn't play well, guess what? We're going to find another one.
Well, you said for 2020.
No, how married are you to them? Because it's got to be, obviously. Right, then he's only got a.
Okay, so it can't be Mahomes because he's too far along in the contract, and it can't be Locke because he's too early in the contract, and that's not
number
fair.
Number one, guess who's number one?
Deshaun.
No.
Who?
They don't have a contract with him.
Oh, Lamar Jackson.
No, Jared Goff.
Because
they're married to him because they gave him so much money.
This is the stupidest article of all time. This is taking a bunch of... This doesn't really capture anything.
Well...
Now you're using a cap cut. You're listening.
Well...
You're using dead cap.
Guess what? You are... Wait a minute. Good marriage or bad marriage? You're married to him.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the deal. I mean, there's a lot of bad marriage.
I'd have to
I don't
think
know.
About
you know
this
what? You and
different.
I don't have those.
I'd have to think
Dell
about that.
Dell would have one if he got married.
Dell would have
a bad marriage.
Yeah, for sure.
But we don't have... Number two is Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill. They're married to him now.
Wow, this is a weird game.
4 years, $118 million, dude. 60 guaranteed.
That's a weird game. But now you're saying married to as in now you can't get out.
Can't get out of it. Kirk Cousins. Carson Wentz. Joe Burrow, the Bengals are inextricably tied to him now with a number one overall pick and $28 million. Russell Wilson, they're married to him. Tua, the Dolphins are married to him.
I don't see how Tua, any team's more married to Tua. Well, no, actually, he was drafted earlier in the first than Drew Locke. But to me, now. Yeah. See, it's just tricky because you're saying, oh, well, there's not a financial obligation, so that actually hurts you.
Yeah.
But Tua doesn't have a huge financial obligation.
No, but a
even
big,
a
high
there.
Draft pick?
Yeah. No, that's true.
When was Locke drafted?
It's harder to get out of a one than a five. I mean, yes. a first than a second.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. Justin Herbert is up there. Matt Ryan is up there,
Justin
obviously.
Justin Herbert should be. He should be. Okay. I can't play this game.
But see, I don't agree with Justin Herbert, though, because if he doesn't play well, even though you used the first on him.
Josh Rosen, was he on that list?
No.
They traded up for him.
Yeah.
So he would have been on that list last year.
Right.
Like
I don't agree
five.
With that one. I don't agree with that one.
I just think you have to jump through too many weird hoops, and there's different mentalities for that.
Go way down the list, and you're going to find Deshaun. And see, I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly in this. The Texans, while the Texans are engaged... And Kansas City is engaged to Pat Mahomes because there is absolutely zero chance that they won't be together long term. Because if Deshaun leaves, if Deshaun's out of here, Bill O'Brien has got to do everything in his power to make Deshaun the happiest man on earth. He's got Bill O'Brien. How married are they? Oh my goodness, they're living together. They probably have a kid together. Bill O'Brien and Deshaun.
I don't think so.
Yes,
well, you Bill can O'Brien snatch that kid up and leave in the middle of the night too.
Well, yeah, but you don't. It makes it a lot harder to leave with a kid involved, even though you're not married yet. But listen, if Deshaun goes, Bill O'Brien, this town will revolt if Deshaun goes because of Bill O'Brien. And the only reason Deshaun will leave is because he can't get along with his spouse, Bill O'Brien.
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah, it is your job to do that. It is your job to make Deshaun Watson the happiest person on earth, Bill O'Brien.
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I know you don't care about money and draft slots. You don't care about that stuff.
I don't really care what you say.
You don't make knee-jerk decisions. I get that. But guess what? Deshaun leaves, and you're out of here, pal.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a new one.
No, that one's old.
Is it old?
That's old. We good? Yep. Hoop. Hip. He goes, hip, hoop, bip. We good?
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Yep. And yep. Oh, by the way, Kansas yep. City. I totally disagree with this list. They got him 21 and Deshaun 22. They're both married to these guys. They're married. They're not financed. Yes, they are. Dak Prescott, are the Cowboys married to him?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
How are they married to him? They don't even have a contract with him.
Well, they've got a $31 million offer to him, first of all.
And he's saying no. They're saying, yeah, no, I don't think they're married to him. To me, he's in the 20s. What is he? I mean, to me, he's there with wherever they're putting Deshaun. You better put Dak Prescott. We're watching it unfold where they're not getting along.
Well, I understand that right now that we don't have the financial implications of Lamar Jackson. Yes, they're married to him. They can't possibly let that guy go. They're inextricably tied together, these guys. Lamar is tied. Deshaun is tied. Patrick Mahomes is tied. They're all tied to their teams. Dak is tied to them. Suppose they get rid of Dak. What happens? You know what the fan base will do? What the bleep? How much did we win with Dak? And blah, blah, blah. And we got us a quarterback and you guys let him go? I mean, unless they completely fall apart.
About $31 million is not even going to be close to what Dak's agent is going to want. $31 million is not even close. And Dallas right now is playing hardball saying, look, we don't think you're an elite quarterback. And Dak is not an elite quarterback. And Dallas is saying, we're going to hit reset. While Bill O'Brien may reset the whole left tackle thing, we're going to reset this crazy. Well, I'm assuming they're saying this. This may not be what they're thinking, but it feels like they're thinking, we're going to reset the quarterback narrative because we're not going to do this. We're not going to get stuck cap-wise with a deal that could be a bad deal with guaranteed cap, a Jared Goff deal, so to speak.
Right. Well, it kind of feels to me like, that kind of feels like to me like, remember when Freaky Deke told you got to act your ass?
Yeah.
You got to act your ass. See, it kind of feels like to me that that Dak could quite possibly be.
He's not acting
Chanel.
His ass.
You have to buy him Chanel, and yet he got a pancake ass. You know what I'm saying?
I did not think about that.
Do you think that, Del?
Do you dare to speak
on... Do you
on...
buy Chanel for a girl with a pancake ass?
No.
No.
She's not worth it.
No.
And did you want to comment your ass, on... Dak? Did you want to comment at this moment? And you don't have to. I'm giving you the option, in fact, not to. But I feel like I have to ask this question because we've had a heavy show. We're just taking one little segment just to do a little... Did you want to comment on Deshaun's ass at all? What kind of...
Oh, Deshaun doesn't have a pancake ass.
Okay.
No, I kind of feel like...
As a quarterback.
I feel like Deshaun...
As a quarterback.
Yeah, relative.
Deshaun's got
relative
a chance.
To the quarterback.
Deshaun's got a chance to be Vita Guerra. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Prime Vita Guerra?
Prime Vita Guerra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't think, no, Deshaun don't have no pancake ass.
Like IG model ass?
Yeah.
Huh.
As a quarterback.
Like
relatively.
Like Amber Rose.
Like, okay.
All right.
Okay, now you come with Amber Rose comments. All right. I see you, John. So you mean like, but like as a metaphor?
Yes, as a metaphor.
Yeah, okay. Right. I just want to make sure people are slightly confused.
Deshaun's going to get paid Chanel. You're going to buy that wife Chanel. You're going to buy her everything she wants because...
I was just making sure that when Dell uses that soundbite in the future that there's at least context for other people who are listening right now.
Act Jazz.
But I'm not going to provide context in the soundbite.
No, well, obviously. Well,
no.
Act Jazz. Huh. That's all I'm saying.
Well.
Deck.
What would you have said? What was Brock Osweiler's ass then?
Brock Osweiler was Twiggy. Brock Osweiler was...
Olive oil ass?
Olive oil ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lance, why do you always put your hand over your face like that when...
I feel like if I hold my... Like, it can't get into my... It feels like a coronavirus thing. Where I'm like, if I do that, it can't get in. The droplets can't get in.
You can't get infected by him? Nice.
You got to cover your nose, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you got to do it all. 10 o'clock.
I was doing the show with a mask on.
At 10 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk right now about
hoops.
What? That's my man, Keith Tate. That's my guy. Keith Tate is really, really, really a great businessman. Keith Tate, and one of the reasons is that, you know what? He didn't care about business all that much, that he's just the nicest guy. And here's the deal is what Keith Tate has done forever. I mean, he's sold basketball goals forever. And you know why he sells them? And you know why he's so successful is because he does it. He's got the best technology, the goal that cannot, there's no better goal made in the world. There's no better installation. There's no better, I mean, honestly, for the price, the value of it, it will last forever, unrustable. Then the kids will love it because it's the most functional that you can lower and raise the basket. It is just the perfect goal for you and the kids. And listen, the kids want to actually enjoy the goal, so let them enjoy the goal by having a goal that will raise and lower so they can actually make baskets. It's all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Gilad.